dry and very theological, and believe me, I know all these things. I study theology. Anyways, I will, however, use some bullet points and to make my point. The mission declared by God in 5 bullet points. 1, Christ is King. 2, making disciples. 3, baptizing. 4, teaching and preaching. And 5, God's omnipotence. Thank you for Darlene reading the great commandment in Matthew 28. But let's dissect that a little bit and dissect it. The overarching or overreaching goal is to make disciples. Jesus is saying, this is my end goal. But in the verses in there, he says, and this is how you get to it. So when we say, go make disciples and go disciple your neighborhood, we're kind of playing down our whole entire goal. Jesus does not want your neighborhood the only one to disciple. Jesus doesn't want Johnny's neighborhood the only one to be Christian. No, Jesus is very specific from which areas he wants these disciples to be. He says all nations, meaning globally. Well, if you haven't gotten further than your neighborhood, you are already behind on that goal. So how do we practically do this? If only Jesus would have mentioned that in the following verses, which he does. First, we need to assert one thing. When Jesus speaks this commandment, this great commission, he speaks it, or he tells it to the people that are seasoned. Those are all disciples of his. Those are all the people that witnessed miracles. They witnessed dead man rise. So not any kind of minors or strangers to the gospel. So let's start with the first bullet point, which is out of verse 18 of the Great Commandment, Matthew 28, Christ is King. It reads, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It is an acknowledgement that Christ is the in absolute control or omnipotent. By following his commandment, we honor Christ and Christ honors his Father. Even the artist Kanye West, a lot of you will know him, wrote a song called Jesus is Lord. We also read in 1 Corinthians 15, where death is your victory, where death is your sting. The sting of death is sin and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So point 2 is making disciples. And that is out of verse 19. Making disciples by showing those we disciple what they are discipled to without even having to say a word. A practical example of the preaching you will do later. So in Jewish culture, there were a lot of rabbis, and those had disciples. These disciples were not taught in their first phase of discipleship. They were following the master and duplicating or learning from his behavior. The verbal education would have come much later. The rabbi would philosophically paint a picture of what he expects the disciple to do. Maybe the term picture says more than 1,000 words is coming from there. I don't know. But making disciples means to be the best representation of Christ, being as close as possible Christ-like. Francis of Assisi is famously attributed to have said the following things, or the following thing, preaching the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Paul, when trying to teach a struggling prodigy, wrote in 2 Timothy, Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. See, speech is only one part of it, and it's not even qualified as preaching or teaching. Love, faith, purity are equal ones. So that was point two. Point three, baptism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was baptized as obedience to his Father, and his ministry requires for public testimony for those that follow him. Acts 2 shows us Peter preaching to his fellow Jews from all over the world, and it ends in verse 41 saying, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the numbers of that day. Baptism is a symbol. Symbolically means to share the burial and the resurrection of Christ. According to Romans 6, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is an act of obedience and a testimony that the individual broke with the world. It's a beautiful picture, and the baptism of immersion is even more in contrast to that. When we are immersed, we die with Christ, and as we rise, we are a new creation. However, water does nothing magical. It doesn't matter how much water, which water, what part of your body you let it run down. It is a symbol. So, next point is teaching. Point four is teaching and preaching. In verse 20, we read, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. This is exactly how he started, how Jesus started this. One disciple at a time. Jesus wasn't out for the numbers, but for the individual souls. When looking at the centrality of Jesus' gospel, nothing has so much weight than teaching. All of us can remember Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He fed 5,000 just after he preached to them. He taught the disciples that the night he was betrayed, 12 of them. But he also taught the Samaritan woman one-on-one, Nicodemus, Lazarus, Zacchaeus, and the rich young ruler one-on-one. Martin Lloyd-Jones is famously known to have taken one action. In particular, he was a preacher, a Protestant in the 20th century. Jones was against liberal Christianity. Wherever he could, he would oppose it. So much that when he transferred to the church, which had one-hour services, they were filled with dances, plays, and dramas. They would remove the pulpit to make room for these plays. The first thing he did was nail the pulpit to the floor. A few years ago, Len Hingley and I had the privilege to meet his grandson, who was at the conference and distributing thumb drives where were hundreds of sermons of Martin Lloyd-Jones. We need to go out, preach, and teach. Preaching and teaching has to be a centrality of our mission, not only in church, but even more to those that are ignorant or uneducated in Christ. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy, preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. Point five, I am with you always. A fundamental truth that interestingly has a parallel passage found in Joshua 1:9. Moses died, Joshua has the difficult task to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. As we, the church, go out into all nations, proclaiming the word to those that do not know Christ, so did Joshua go into the promised land to the Canaanites that did not know Yahweh. God is omnipresent, meaning he is always with you, especially when you go in his name. Now, let's take the Great Commission for its face value and summarize it. It declares Christ as having all authority over heaven and earth, qualifying him to give the mission assignment to the church. It clarifies the mission result in terms of disciples made. The task is to disciple who will disciple others. There's a commitment implied that involves serious fellowship. The commands of the mission assignment to be worldwide. All people are to be gathered in the kingdom, regardless of race. It is all-inclusive mission with no limits or exceptions. It assigns missions, responsibilities, and initiative to all believers. Everyone who believes is expected to be a witness and disciple. It expects the believer to be identified by baptism. The Great Commission makes baptism a sign of Christian discipleship. It signals sincerity and commitment to the kingdom. It describes the new followers as learners and practitioners of the faith. A life of Christian discipleship is profiled in the Great Commission mandate. It promises Christ partnership in presence and implementation of the worldwide mission until the very end. Christ remains vitally connected as a savior in the inspiration in the midst of the church mission. The Great Commission starts with Christ's authority and it concludes with Christ's continuous presence. It is non-negotiable assignment and it's carried out by worldwide by those who belong in Christ. The assignment is clearly focused. It is purposed to make disciples or diligent workers of Christ. Its primary motive is the church calling to love neighbors and to make disciples of all nations. So you may ask, what am I going to tell the people I meet? What am I telling them? John, in the letter of 1 John, writes something very, very remarkable this way. That which it was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So Jesus told his apostles to go, according to Matthew 28, the Great Commission, and make disciples. So do we know if they did that? Let's find out. So did they make disciples of all nations? It is traditionally believed that Peter first traveled to Antioch and established a community there. He did not stay very long, but he's often known to be the first bishop of Antioch. After that, he may have visited Corinth before heading to Rome. There, he helped form the Christian community and was ultimately martyred in the circus of Nero around 64 AD. St. Peter's Basilica, which is a church, the Vatican Church, is supposedly built on top of his tomb, which makes the prediction of Jesus quite literally when he says, "You are the rock, and I will build my church on you." After Pentecost, many ancient traditions point Andrew, Peter's brother, as the apostle to the Greeks. It is believed that he preached to Greek communities and was martyred in Patras on a cross in the shape of an X. It is held that James was the first apostle to be martyred. In the Acts of the Apostles, it reads, "Herod the king laid violent hand upon some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with his sword." That happened around 44 AD. The author of John, the Gospel of John, the two books of John, and the Revelation, John was the only apostle not to have been martyred to death. They tried it. They did not succeed. In Revelation, he writes from the island of Patmos, and he died around 100 AD and is buried near Ephesus. In the following of the Pentecost, Philip ministered to the Greek-speaking communities. Little is known about his adventures, except that he was martyred around 88. Little is known about the evangelization efforts of Bartholomew. Various traditions have him preaching in different areas. It is believed that he was martyred. The doubting apostle Thomas is widely known for his mission efforts in India. There is a popular story about his adventures that he focuses on the conversion of a local king, and he died around 72 AD. Matthew is well known for his gospel. He preached to various communities in the Mediterranean before his martyrdom in Ethiopia. Scholars believe that James the Less, the one that wrote the Epistle of James and the brother of Jesus found in the New Testament, after the apostle dispersed and left Jerusalem, James remained and became the first bishop in the Holy City. He remained there for several decades until he was stoned to death by the Jewish authorities in 62 AD. The forgotten apostle, due to his name being the same as Judas Iscariot, Jude preached the gospel in various places. He is revered by the Armenian church as the apostle to the Armenians. He suffered martyrdom around 65 AD in Beirut in Lebanon. Simon is often depicted with Jude Thaddeus, and some believe they preached together as a team. This is due to part of tradition that states that they were both martyred in Beirut around the same year. Matthias, or Matthias, after being chosen as the replacement apostle, one tradition states that he founded a church in Cappadocia and ministered to Christians on the coast of the Caspian Sea. It is believed that he died a martyr's death and was beheaded with an axe and Colchis at the hands of many pagans there. All disciples went out, and they understood Jesus' great commandment. The idea of a church is that it procreates to make every soul known to the saving grace of Christ. It is like a snowball effect. You know the Savior? Bring 10 friends to meet Jesus Christ. My favorite missionaries, however, are more contemporary. Maybe because they're a little more researched, well-researched. Let me show you two of them, and maybe we can have an idea what it means to mission. Jim and Elizabeth Elliott, and I alluded to that in my worship service a few weeks ago, out of the diary of Jim. I have this only in German, but however, you can see a little bit, I believe. They married in Quito in Mexico and moved to a more remote area to make contact to the Guarani tribe in Amazon. Jim and four of the other missionaries were later killed by the tribe they were trying to reach. After her husband's death, Elizabeth returned and spent 2 years ministering to the tribe that killed them successfully, I might say. Elizabeth Elliot is one of the most known and loved women missionaries in the last few generations. Through her extensive speaking and many beautiful books, her legacy and Jim's will live in the hearts of all who read them. The other one is a better known missionary. His name is James Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a great friend with Charles Spurgeon and George Miller, two very excellent evangelists. Taylor would sometimes speak on the issues of China and Spurgeon's tabernacle. For 51 years, Hudson Taylor poured his life into bringing Christ behind the closed doors of China. He founded China Inland Mission, and as a result, more than 800 missionaries were brought into the country, who opened up 125 schools with a whooping results of 25,000 conversions. All due to Hudson Taylor answering his call to mission. Taylor was a prayer warrior and a faith giant. He was able to speak several Chinese dialects and help to translate the New Testament into a dialect now spoken in Shanghai, where he spent many of his years of his life. He faced sickness and loss with a spirit and unshaken trust, leaving behind a legacy that has inspired thousands of missionaries in all corners of the world. In other words, or in his words, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. Let me be very clear. If we go out to make disciples, we're not expected to have a comfortable life. Jesus said they will hate you because they hated me first. You might even die in a process. Your reward will be most likely in heaven, not here on earth. I will be honest, it is hard to conceive how easy we take the church mission when reflecting on the disciples and missionaries of the past. We look at the great commandment and the spiritual forefathers who took this issue so much more serious. But I would like to leave you with the courage that even Jesus called his disciples one at a time, and the messages, follow me. I am the way, in Jesus' words. I am the way, the life, and the truth. And you need to be reconciled with God. Thank you for your attention, and I want to give back to Lauren, please.
Well, thank you, CJ. It is quite a challenge, and we know that God doesn't have us here just for us to be comfortable and enjoy life. I think he wants us to enjoy life. He calls us to joy, but he has given us a big mandate, and that is to make disciples, and we pray that happens in Rosemary, our community, and people will be added to the church. And we pray it happens around the world. And some God is going to call to other places, and some of us, it is our neighbors and the opportunity to support missionaries through finances and prayer and the global efforts to make disciples of all nations. So thank you, CJ, and blessing to you as you do your part in making disciples, and hopefully all of us do as well. I'm going to close with a benediction, and then that will end our service. So please bow with me. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you, everyone. You don't have to leave being online right away. If you wish to